From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 27th day of February 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural news and some of the things that have been happening in Washington, D.C. as it's related to MFP3, well, relatively speaking. We'll also discuss what's going on in San Antonio, Texas with the Commodity Classic. We'll hear about the commodity markets and trade in Chicago and New York with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. And speaking of the Commodity Classic, Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net spoke with the some 2,000 gathered there. Earlier today, we'll hear from him and discuss the cash grain market. And as we wrap up our time together, I'll remind you to visit our website at willag.org and buy those tickets today. Don't wait today for the All-Day Ag Outlook. It's next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You don't want to miss it.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, March corn down 6 cents today at $3.64.5. The May at $3.68, 6.5 lower. In July, down 6.25 at $3.72.5. December corn 4 cents lower. That's your new crop at $3.77.5. The March soybeans 5.25 higher, $8.86.25 the settlement price. The May at $8.95 up 3. July up 2 at $9.04.75. And November beans at $9.13.5, a half cent higher. The bean oil down 24 cents. Bean meal up $5.60. Wheat futures July soft red 6.5 lower at $5.29. Hard red at $4.58.75 for the harvest month July, down 7.5. Live cattle futures in Chicago in the April, $1.87.5 lower at $110.47.5. Feeders were down $1.90 in the April at $134.7.5. And the April lean hogs $2.60 lower at $62.55. The crude oil down $1.76 a barrel. The ethanol penny and 8 cents lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel down 8 tenths of a cent. And gasoline 5 1/10 of a cent lower. That for the day at $1.40.3. Natural gas is 8 3/10 of a cent lower at $1.75.5. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, a loss of about 700 points now. The U.S. dollar down 0.488. And gold futures off $1.60 at $1,638.80. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to talk about the commodity markets. He is traveling toward us, I believe, for the All-Day Ag Outlook and a whole bunch of other things you've got going on in Illinois. So thanks for making the drive here for that event next week. We appreciate that.
Well, I'm sure looking forward to seeing everybody at the Beef House come Tuesday.
Well, they can get their tickets online, willag.org or 800-898-1065. I think by the time we get to Tuesday, we'll know a lot more about coronavirus and the impact it's having on the broader economy. This is the third day in a row we've had a really big drop in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The S&P 500 is off sharply as well. I tweeted about that earlier in the day, hoping that you would see it and check those out. They are poised, both of them, to make a monthly reversal to the downside. What do you see in that marketplace?
Well, I think, you know, probably the bigger picture is that we're on our way to a quarterly reversal, which will probably mean more unless March is a recovery month. But the way I kind of look at it, I've been kind of watching that Dow for the last 2-3 weeks, and it was terribly overbought. You know, it looked like it was ripe to break, just from a pure technical perspective, looking at some technical indicators and some trading systems that I look at. And then the coronavirus seems to be the fundamental force that triggered the break. Sunday night, when we dropped 400 points right out of the chute, most of your technical people and your, you know, mechanical trading systems, they all went 180 there on that 400-point drop. Everything kicked over to the short side. You know, getting out of their longs, going short, and then that just kind of, you know, fed on itself all day Monday for a 1,000-point drop. And then, of course, that continued again there on Tuesday for another 1,000-point drop. Now today, it kind of looks like maybe we might be trying to stabilize a little bit. We are now on the oversold side of the equation on the daily deal. But anytime you do a 3,000-point drop, that's a major drop. I mean, we've lost everything that we gained this year and then some. But like I told you earlier, if you look at it on a short-term basis, it looks awful ugly. But when you look at it on a 10-year chart, it just looks like a little correction in here. But the key will be how widespread is this coronavirus really is. You know, when they start talking about canceling the Tokyo Olympic Games, I think that's almost kind of one of those things that might kind of be the climax of the decline. I think the market's getting way ahead of itself. There's no doubt about it. It's serious. But I don't think anybody really knows enough about it to panic too bad. But I mean, it, the stock market decline, a lot of this has been people were carrying too big of positions on the long side. It's kind of like when soybeans are trading $16, they're all leveraged up, trading positions five times larger than what they should be trading. And then all of a sudden it rains. And then it turns into a money game. It's get me out, get me out, get me out. And I think a lot of this decline has been from that speculative crowd, just get me out, get me out, get me out, as well as the technical crowd that follows trading systems and the chart action and whatnot. They were going short the market. But once we settle down, now I would suspect usually when you have a big decline like this in any kind of market, you'll get 2 or 3 day recovery rally that'll be quick and hard to the upside, and then the thing will come back down and usually check out the lows and see if those lows are very solid. So we're going to have to spend some time here. First thing we got to do is kind of find a short term bottom. We got to have a recovery rally. Then we're going to have a period of consolidation. And that's all going to depend upon this, you know, how widespread this coronavirus is, whether or not the market actually believes the ruling class has control of it throughout the world, and whether or not it's expanding or getting worse. I don't know. We'll just kind of have to take day by day. But, you know, I know the numbers sound kind of big, but when you're talking about a population of what the world is, we're still talking just fractions of a percent here. But we have to kind of anytime the market is into something that's unknown, it just kind of goes berserk. And that's kind of where we're at. And then, of course, that's following over into the commodity complex. Now, soybeans had a nice up day today. Maybe soybeans are going to be the cure of this coronavirus. Maybe we could get lucky and use beans as a cure. But it's definitely worrisome, I think, from an economic point of view, as far as the interruption of the supply chain, because we are in a global economy. And as this outbreak is hitting Asia much harder than it's hitting anyplace else in the world, a lot of parts, car parts, computer parts, tech parts are made in Asia and exported over here to the States. And we put our cars together or computers together or whatever we put together. And that could definitely come back and slow down the economy in some sectors. We'll have to see kind of what it does to the demand side of food. I don't really see it changing the demand side of food very much as of yet. We'll have to just have to see how big a widespread problem this really is.
Very quickly, am I right that another, 1,000 to 1,500 points, somewhere between 24,500 and 25,000, that would flip things pretty harshly if we lost that much?
Well, I was just looking at like a daily chart or a weekly chart or something, and I think halfway back to the 18 low And I'm not sure where that 18 low was at, but I think we still got a ways to go yet. What I would be looking at is that 50% retracement level, and I can't really see that here on my iPhone. I do have the chart in front of me, but I can't tell you what the highs and lows. It's a little small watching it on this iPhone here.
I think that was watching... in December. December of what, 18, I suppose. It was around 21 and a half, something like that. So, yeah.
Right. So you have to figure the halfway back and see if we begin to stabilize.
2,400, 2,405, something like that, be halfway point.
Yeah, and that's going to be support. And we'll have to see what happens, whether that the market begins to consolidate there, stabilizes. And then probably by then, you know, in a couple of weeks, we'll have a little better idea of what this coronavirus, how bad it is, or if they are if it is able to be contained, or if it gets worse. I don't know. We'll have to kind of take it from, we're going to have to take 1 week at a time here on this.
And maybe 25.5, actually, when I think about the numbers. It's not all that far away. All right. Well, we'll see how it goes, and we'll look forward to having you at the Beef House with us in Covington, Indiana, next Tuesday. I appreciate you taking the time. We'll talk about the markets then. How about that?
I sure will. I'll be glad to talk about them.
Dan Zwickers with Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas, joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. He will be one of 13 commodity analysts that will join us next Tuesday at the Beef House. We'll have another four folks beyond that, so we look forward to having you there as well. You can sign up now at willag.org. In today's agricultural news, we'll start off with an item that comes directly from the United States Department of Agriculture and their farm broadcaster, Stephanie Holm. It's a clarification of the tweet President Trump made last week that suggested farmers across the nation might expect an MFP3, though he didn't use that term, MFP3, payment for the 2020 growing year if, and that's the word that's important here, if the Phase 1 deal and USMCA aren't in place.
Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue moved to clarify comments on whether there will be another round of market facilitation program payments in 2020.
You saw the tweet, maybe seen the tweet from the president the other day. There was a big two-letter word at the front of that that I don't think people, producer farmers, look at. What was that word? If.
He told a gathering of the National Association of State Directors of Agriculture that the if is if trade deals with China don't materialize.
But we are expecting them to. I'm kind of assuming the close with China. They're going to live up to that hard line commitment of purchases they made and expect them to do that.
So in terms of what to expect,
think of it as a trade disruption program, not a price support program on market facilitation. That's why I'm telling people not to expect it. Plan for the markets to their situation.
The program has provided aid to farmers for 2 years to make up for trade losses. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue will be in San Antonio at the Commodity Classic tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see how he addresses the farmers, some 2,000 of them there. As it relates to this topic, the Phase 1 trade deal with China and the USMCA, which is still outstanding as it relates to ratification in Canada. Now, on that note, farmers and trade experts weighed in on that Phase 1 China trade deal. Illinois Farm Bureau President Richard Giebert was on hand and had these thoughts.
The trade agreement's provisions calling for China to purchase roughly $40 billion worth of U.S. agricultural and seafood products in each of the next 2 years will provide a huge and timely economic lift to American agriculture.
Even as coronavirus paralyzes some trade.
We recognize that China is managing through a deadly coronavirus outbreak, that the purchases called in the agreement have not happened yet, and the USDA economists have not even built those anticipated Phase 1 sales into their export reports. We certainly know the markets have yet to move, but farmers and ranchers all across America are optimistic.
Well, maybe not all across the United States. For instance, Minnesota wheat and soybean farmer Tim Defoe was not so optimistic.
As far as the Phase 1 deal goes, the purchases, which have not yet materialized, are a promise while the tariffs are still real. The ag economy doesn't live on promises. Until China buys, we are not buying the promise.
And here's how a couple of different lawmakers are thinking about phase one in this election year. One Democrat and one Republican. We'll start with the New Jersey Democrat, Bill Pascrell, followed by Missouri Republican, Jason Smith.
President Obama was attacked over picking winners and losers. But President Trump's farm bribes do exactly that.
With former presidents, they knew China was bad actors. They knew that China was taking advantage of our farmers. But yet they did nothing. And then when someone did try to do something, such as President Trump, they then complain about it because it's not enough. All we're hearing is more politics and more bickering and more fighting and, like, we're not as good as so-and-so. I'm sick of it. Let's fight for the American people.
Those comments all coming from the Ways and Means Committee meeting that happened this week. For their part, U.S. Secretary Sonny Perdue and U.S. Trade Ambassador Robert Lighthizer issued a joint statement this week saying that China has already begun implementing key ag commitments in the Phase 1 trade deal. That includes reducing some import tariffs on products arriving from the United States. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You know, the All-Day Ag Outlook is at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana next Tuesday, and I sure would love to have you there. The cost is just $30. It's a great event that's been running since 1991 in the same venue. That doesn't happen very often. We have a great relationship with the Beef House. Thank you to them. Thank you to WILL for all the support they have put into this conference this year. And to all of our sponsors, I hope that you'll come and join us because it'll be a great day. There are 13 commodity analysts that will be on stage. You've heard me say 17, and there are, but 13 of them are actually commodity analysts and brokers. Plus, we'll have Steve Mulberger there to take a broader view, a look at the future of agriculture. Eric Snodgrass will be on hand to discuss the weather forecast. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions. Gary Schnitke and Lance Honig will both be there to talk about government programs, Gary Ark PLC Crop Insurance, and of course Lance, who's the chief of the crops branch at USDA NAS, about the crop reports that come out each and every month of the year and how NAS incorporates what farmers are telling them into the reports. You can ask any question you want. It's important that you are there. And I mean it. It really is important that you are there. If you've not signed up, this is a great deal. All of that for $30. Plus, you get a Beef House lunch. That's right, a lunch from the Beef House. And in the morning, coffee and their cinnamon roll. You can't beat it. Sign up today at willag.org, willag.org, or at 800-898-1065. Now, one of the people that will be there, one of the commodity analysts, is Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net. He's spending this week in San Antonio, Texas, at the Commodity Classic. In fact, this morning, he spoke to the some 2,000 farmers that are attending the Commodity Classic. He's online now. Hey, thanks for being with us, Matt. What did you have to tell them this morning, and what was their response?
You know, the main thing that I tried to talk to him about was, being more on offense this year than defense. Maybe not just sitting around expecting a rally, waiting for a rally, looking at the mechanics of the market, what a person might be able to do. And so we talked a little bit about, if you do have some hedges on, or if you want to extend your hedges and, end up rolling those out to July, we feel pretty confident with any type of crop at all. You could see a carry out to July, 30, 35 cents. So you see something like that on top of a $3.90 or $4 hedge, and that puts you in a pretty good place as far as those bushels are concerned. All you got to do is factor in basis.
Right. So how do you go about setting that up?
Like I said, let's say you've got some $4 hedges on now. You got to figure out what percentage you want to get to, and I don't have any problem with getting to 50%, if you get back maybe to $3.90 or so. And then you just wait until you see that carry from the D's to the July go out to 30 or more. I think it'll get to 25 easily. Last year, the highest it traded was 33.25, and the lowest that you saw was around 2.5. So, we feel pretty confident if the acres are right, you'll have ample opportunity to be able to roll that hedge out. And then essentially, you just hold that hedge until you're ready to sell your corn. And, of course, most of the time, whenever you're going to be ready to sell your corn, when the basis is going to be advantageous.
I know that this is the first day of the Commodity Classic. Any topics of conversation that are running through the event so far?
Well, I think there's a lot of concern. You know, there's no doubt there's a lot of concern. I think that, you know, people are here wanting to hear some good news. Someone came up to me and Ed Usset right before we went on stage and said they're hoping for all positive conversation. And I said, well, there's other rooms around here if you want to try to find a different one. But I mean, I don't want to be all negative, and it's not all negative, but we got to talk reality. And the reality of the situation right now is a pretty grim outlook. And, you got to make a lot of assumptions if you're wanting to see some sort of a large-scale rally. And I think we've got to be careful to make those assumptions.
Ed Usset, of course, the University of Minnesota ag economist who covers commodity markets. He's been a guest on our Commodity Week program. Tomorrow, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue will address the crowd. Do they have many expectations from him?
I think a lot of people want to get clarification upon the tweet that was made by President Trump last week saying that they thought we might get some money. I mean, obviously, if these markets continue on the path that we're on, it's pretty tough to assume that you're not going to get some sort of aid. It's probably pretty early in the year for any sort of discussion like that. But at the same time, I think people would like to hear from him on what his take is and, you know, get his take on what phase one is going to look like. Is there going to be any corn included in this? Ethanol, DDGs, you know, those are things that people are interested in because those are things that could actually give a little bit of a boost to a pretty lethargic market.
Yesterday, Secretary Perdue told the state directors of agriculture at their national convention that there was an if in front of the tweet. And he said that if he thought meant that phase one probably would be implemented, hopefully, and that USMCA would be put in place. Will producers be disappointed?
Well, I think that they certainly could have the potential to be disappointed. With the phase one deal, I think the unfortunate thing, nobody really knows which commodities, what are the numbers, what are the totals, how much you're going to see. In the bottom line, I think for corn right now, a lot of people are assuming that there's not going to be much of anything. And in that case, certainly you would have some disappointment because I think most people realize they're going to be purchasing a fair amount of beans. But to get this market kind of jump-started and the things that people are, I think, really hopeful for is to see that the corn market's going to have some support. As far as the money's concerned, yeah, I think that there definitely is the potential to be disappointed if you don't see some support, especially with the prices we're looking at right now.
Any other things you're hearing out there that we ought to know before I let you go for the afternoon?
No, I think that, it's pretty frustrating right now. I think everyone's probably down in the dumps as they should be, with these types of prices. But, it's not going to stay this way forever. There will be opportunities out there. We just have to be proactive this year.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He's with AgMarket.net and joined us from San Antonio, Texas, where he's participating in the Commodity Classic. That'll continue tomorrow and Saturday. Next Tuesday, Matt will be at the Beef House with us at the All Day Ag Outlook. Now, he'll be just one of 13 commodity analysts. There'll be another four analyst there as well. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass. Gary Schnitke will talk about the ARC PLC decision, crop insurance as well, SCO too. Lance Honig will be there from USDA NASS. You should plan on joining us. If you've not bought your ticket yet, there's still time. willag.org, willag.org, or call this number, 800-898-1065 during regular business hours. Sign up today for the All Day Ag Outlook. It's Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana.